There's a new book out called What Do We Stand For? American Ideals in the War Against Islamic Jihad. The author is Lieutenant Colonel, retired, Larkin Spivey. His website is larkinspivey.com. And through the years, I've had the privilege to interview Larkin on some of his books about ways in which God actually intervened providentially in American history, especially during military times. We're going to talk about this issue now, about this threat of Islamic Jihad, on this portion of Vocal Point. I'm Jerry Newcomb, and Larkin, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, Jerry. It's great to talk to you again.
And by the way, how many books did you write about the subject of, you know, God helping in the American cause?
Well, basically two books on that subject, and then I've written a number of devotionals based on different wars with, you know, a story a day about the power of faith in combat of individual soldiers and Marines. So that's what I've spent quite a few years doing with AMG Publishers.
Yeah. Oh, excellent. Okay. All right. So let's talk about the issue of Islamic Jihad. I mean, obviously, virtually a day doesn't go by or a week doesn't go by where there's not, you know, some new attack. We're almost becoming jaded to it. It's almost like same old, same old.
Yeah, Jerry, I have written a small book. If you've got it there, you see it's a short. I hope it's easy to read and very concise. My main purpose, well, I have two purposes. One is to try to highlight the threat, the internal threat to America from the Islamic jihadists who seek, I think, to change our culture and make it into a Muslim culture. And it may take, I mean, they have a long view on this. But I want to highlight that threat. And then my main purpose is to try to explain what I think are the critical American values that every American needs to understand, not just Christians, but Muslims, Christians, atheists, whoever. If you're an American, you need to know what America stands for. And that's my purpose in this little short book.
Okay, what does America stand for?
Well, first of all, I believe we have to go back to our founding to understand what we stand for. And I believe that our founding was a Christian event. In fact, I know it was a Christian event. Our founders were either Christians or raised in Christian families. They were all well-versed in the Bible and biblical principles, and they incorporated these principles into our new government and into our basic makeup as Americans. And I'm not sure how far to keep going on this, but for instance, when our founders cut the ties of royal authority with the crown of Great Britain in 1776, they very purposefully took a step of faith and turned to God as their source of authority. And in the new nation then, with God as the source of authority, the one who endows every individual in America with certain unalienable rights, the most important entity in America became not the president or the Congress, but it became the individual American, the citizen, the one who has the relationship to God where these rights come from. And so it was the citizens that set up the new government to protect their rights and to do what they wanted. And this whole concept of the sacred rights of the individual American is just so opposite of Islamic Jihad and the submission that is called for in Islam. We couldn't have a more diametrically opposed opponent that totally believes something else.
Oh, I agree. I mean, in fact, and you don't see people, you know, lining up in droves trying to emigrate to Saudi Arabia or to Pakistan or, you know, to Bangladesh or whatever, or places where Islam is strictly practiced, you know, unless there's maybe a few missionaries here or there or something who are taking a lot of risk, you know, frankly, to do so. But you do see people from those other countries wanting to come here to America to enjoy our way of life.
Yes, and there are people among these refugees and among these immigrants who come here to use our system against us. And these are the people that belong to the Muslim Brotherhood and CARE and the Muslim Student Associations and all the other front organizations of the Muslim Brotherhood, who have a well-publicized agenda of civilization jihad in America. And they're very carefully going about their long-range plans.
Explain that, please. The civilization jihad.
Well, these people believe in Muslim supremacy. They believe in the rule of a caliphate and Sharia law. And they advance in stages. You know, in places where they have a small percentage of the population, they try to blend in. And they occasionally raise the voice of discrimination or victimhood or what have you, trying to be considered sympathetically. And as they grow in numbers and grow in their population relative to the rest that they're in, they begin to advocate for Sharia law in their neighborhoods or communities. In other words, leave us alone and let us take care of our own wives and children and homosexual issues or divorce or whatever it is. We'll take care of it under Sharia law. And so they gradually expand their territory that way. And I think that they seek to eventually expand Sharia law to the entire United States. And I don't think too many people understand what they're about. And all of these efforts are totally, totally against our constitutional principles and our ideals that make us Americans.
Can you explain about Sharia law?
Well, it's the interpretation of the Quran and the hadiths, which are based on the Quran, but ultimately the legal system of Islam comes down to what the religious leaders of Islam say it is. And I'm not an expert on this, but I do know that they have certain principles in their legal system which are very much different from ours. I mean, a woman does not have the same voice. I think it takes more than one woman to counter the testimony of one man. And if a woman gets raped, she needs four male witnesses to the rape to testify on her behalf. And I can't think of any circumstance where you would have four male witnesses to a rape. Mm-hmm. If they didn't stop it, what were they just doing, just watching it happen? But these sort of things are part of Sharia law, as I understand it, and they are not part of our American way of life.
Now, one thing that's fascinating to me is to see how some of the most violent of the American-born jihadists, who are the sons of immigrants, they you know, essentially imbibe the values of the country that their family fled from, you know, 30 years ago or whatever. I'm thinking, for example, yeah, of the Afghani. He's from an Afghani family, Afghanistan family, who did the shooting up at, in the Orlando gay nightclub or whatever. But here's a guy that basically was an American, and yet he, you know, came to believe in all the ISIS stuff, and his parents didn't agree. And in fact, they fled radical Islamic territory in order to come and get a, you know, have a new life here in America. So, in other words, the children that are, you know, trying to go back to the old values, the values from which the parents fled, that's a scary prospect to me.
Yes, Jerry, as I understand it, again, I hate to hold myself out as a great authority on Islam, but I, you know, I read about it. I try to learn as much as I can. But as I understand it, a young adult Muslim who comes under the influence of an imam within a mosque and is convinced that he has led a sinful life, and he's convinced he needs to turn back to God, I don't think Islam has any provision for forgiveness. Islam has no Jesus Christ that is there waiting with open arms to bring back in a lost soul. I think the only way that this young man can be guaranteed of paradise is to kill infidels. Mm-hmm. And that may be a harsh interpretation of the Quran, but that's my understanding of the situation that a young Muslim adult is in if he tries to change his life and become a more sincere Muslim after doing sinful things in his youth.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's not just your interpretation. Unfortunately, it's what is motivating some of these people. We're here, this radio broadcast emanates from South Florida, and some of the 9/11 hijackers spent a little time in South Florida. They retraced some of their steps and found out some of them had gone to strip clubs and some of these things like that. And I asked some experts on Islam, how is it that they could do that? Were they trying to, you know, throw the FBI off the course or something like that? No, not at all. It was just more like they felt like they were going to go to paradise shortly, because they were going to be killing the infidel, and that Allah would overlook all these sins of the flesh because they were doing this greater service for Allah. So they thought.
Yeah. Well, how an ideology can so belittle the value of human life, it's beyond my comprehension.
But a lot of Americans today, I don't think, understand the threat of radical Islam. Your thought?
You know, a lot of Americans do understand it, but there are so many, Jerry, that seem to be ready and willing to bring the Muslims in as a victim class, along with the rest of the victims that make up their political base. And it's unfortunate, but when President Trump tries to even pause immigration for a few months, there are riots in the streets. And these are people with a political agenda to appeal to whoever the Muslims are that feel victimized by any effort to sort out who the terrorists among them are.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a sad situation we're in.
Well, and even in that kind of particular context, it's not even a pause for all nations. It's not a pause for all Muslim nations. It's a pause for seven specific Muslim nations where those nations themselves are in chaos, and those governments back home have no way to vet some of the people. So let's have a temporary pause. And even that is being challenged constitutionally.
Well, it's being challenged in courts, but it's also being challenged by riots. I mean, it's ridiculous, but that's what's going on. It's such a common sense, benign effort to provide a little more security for America. But there are people with an agenda that is not concerned about the security of America. Their agenda is turmoil.
You know, your whole life, or much of it, especially as far as the writing is concerned, has been dedicated to a godly perspective, a Christian perspective on war. And it seems to me the first rule of war, didn't Sun Tzu say, in the art of war, the first rule is to know who your enemy is. But today we're confused about that.
You're right. The Muslims in America that belong to the Muslim Brotherhood, to CARE, and these other front organizations have done a pretty amazing job of propaganda and public relations to be at the forefront of complaining about any questioning of the motives of Muslims in America. President Obama went right along with it. He never tried to make a distinction between jihadists and loyal American Muslims who simply want to live their lives in peace. We never have had this discussion of who's who and who's for us and who's against us. But we have enemies in America who are working against our interest, and it has to be realized.
That's so true. Where can people get your booklet or your short book?
It's on Amazon. Under my name, all my books are there, and this one is there. My website does have some more information about the book and the other values which we should hold dear as Americans. And again, it's a little book. It's easy to read, and it, I hope, is concise and clear.
What Do We Stand For? American Ideals in the War Against Islamic Jihad. LarkinSpivey.com for more information. Larkin is spelled LARKIN. Spivey, SPIVEY. Larkin, thanks so much for being with us. God bless and all the best.
Thank you, Jerry. God bless you for what you're doing.
Thank you now. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.